Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on the end times.
All this week, we're looking at the wonderful subject of the rapture of the church. We've been looking at scriptures trying to prove the idea that the church will be removed before the seven-year tribulation period takes place. That is called pre-tribulationism. I believe that the scripture clearly teaches us that the blessed hope that we have is looking for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we don't have to fear the future because we realize that the Lord will come and rescue us from this time of tribulation in which he will primarily deal with the nation of Israel and bring many converts out of that nation to himself. And as we come to the book of Revelation today in chapter 19, it's a graphic and detailed description of the second coming of Jesus Christ, which will definitely take place at the end of the tribulation period. The church will have already been taken to heaven before this seven-year period begins. And when he comes back, when the Lord comes back at the end of this 7 years, he'll bring the saints with him. And we'll see this in Revelation 19. First of all, what we'll see in Revelation chapter 19 in verses 5 through 7, that there's a group already in heaven. They have received their reward and they're ready to come out of heaven with the Lord at the second coming. And here we're going to see that the church is already in heaven, now ready to come out at the end of the seven-year tribulation period with the Lord. It says this in Revelation 19, verses 5 through 7. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And it was granted to her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." So here we have this group that is extremely loud in their praise to God like thunder, that is described as the wife, and that she is ready. She's arrayed in fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. So here's the church that has been in heaven for this tribulation period, has been rewarded, and now they're ready to come back out of heaven with the Lord. And here we're clothed in fine linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. And so here we clearly see the church presently in heaven during the tribulation period, and then in verses 11 through 21 of Revelation 19, that describes when the Lord comes out of heaven to the earth to bring his final judgment there and wipe out all of his enemies. And one of the things that we do not see happening in Revelation 19, which is the most detailed and graphic description of the second coming, is we don't see anywhere described where the Lord stops in midair, raptures his people, and then comes back down. What we see is people coming out of heaven with the Lord. As Zechariah said many years earlier in his book, that the Lord would come back with many of his saints. Let's read a description of the second coming and this army that comes out of heaven with the Lord. In verse 11 and following, it says this, "Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." So this is no doubt a detailed description of Jesus Christ. And he's coming out of heaven, and it doesn't say that he's coming to rapture the church, but it's saying he's coming out of heaven because he judges and he makes war. And his eyes are a flame of fire. So he is coming back to bring his wrath out upon these armies that are gathered together to fight against him. Now here is the interesting part of the chapter in verse 14, this group that comes out of heaven with the Lord. Look how they're described. It says, "The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." And so here's an army that comes out of heaven with the Lord, and they have the same thing on which was described earlier in verse 8 of the bride, that they are clothed in fine linen, white and clean, the very description which is given to the bride. Now some say, well, it says they're an army, and earlier it says the bride, so it must be two different groups, it's not the church. Well, as you look through the scripture, there's a lot of images that are used to describe the body of Christ or the believers. We're called a chaste virgin by the Apostle Paul. John also calls us the bride here in Revelation 19. In the book of Ephesians, Paul says that Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. Also in Ephesians, he says that we are a building or a habitation for God, where God comes in and brings his presence. Also, we are called as the church. We are the temple. Individual, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but also the church is called the temple of God. So there's a lot of different images that could be used to describe the church. At one place, we could be called the bride, and another place, we could be called the army. What shows us that this is the same group is the way in which they are dressed. Let me read verse 8 again, and then verse 14. It says, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then in verse 14, this army in heaven is clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. And so here we have this group, this bride that has made herself ready, has been rewarded by the Lord. We're coming out of heaven to follow the Lord as he makes judgment upon all those that have rejected him and the armies that are gathered together. And so here we have a detailed description of the church coming out of heaven with the Lord at the second coming, which obviously means we have to be there previously to that. I believe that's what Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, the rapture of the church, where he says this, "For I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So those who have died in the Lord before the rapture of the church will come back with the Lord. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up." That's where we get the word rapture, from the Latin translation. Here it's translated to be caught up, together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. My prayer is that you would be comforted today as you look to the future, realizing that the Lord has made us promises, that he is going to come and catch us up, rapture us to be with him in his presence. And then we will spend 7 years in heaven with the Lord in his wonderful presence, basking in his glory. And then at the end of that seven-year period, we will come back with the Lord to the earth to see the kingdom of God, the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign of Christ to be established on the earth. And so the Old Testament also predicts that when the Lord comes back, his saints are going to come with him. And this is predicted in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. It says, "In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it towards the south." What an awesome sight that's going to be when the Lord puts his feet on the Mount of Olives and it splits in two, and then the Jews are going to be able to run into that place for protection. "For then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain of valley shall reach to Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you." So here it's predicted in the Old Testament, the saints are going to come back with the Lord. We see that happening in Revelation chapter 19. So I believe it's clear that what will happen is that the church will be raptured before the tribulation period takes place. We'll spend 7 years in the presence of the Lord, and then at the end of the tribulation, we will come out of heaven with the Lord. We will be the saints that come with the Lord. And what the Lord will be doing is he'll be bringing his judgment and fighting against all of his enemies and bringing them all into submission under his feet, and then he will set up his thousand-year reign on the earth. Then he'll set up his millennial kingdom, or the thousand-year reign of the Lord on the earth. In closing, what I'd like to look at is the way in which the wedding ceremony took place in the time of Jesus and compare that to the rapture of the church. In the time of the Lord, what would happen is that at a certain point in a young man's life, he would enter into what the scriptures call a betrothal period. It's similar to our engagement period. It would last approximately a year. At the end of that year, at some point, that young man would go and bring his bride back to his house. And what he'd be doing in that year's time is actually preparing the house in which they were to live in. And customarily what the son would do is he'd build onto his father's house. And he'd prepare a place right there on the father's property, just adding on to their property, adding on to their house, where he could live and continue to work the family trade. That's exactly what Jesus meant when he said this in John chapter 14. "In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so Jesus said he's going to go away, just like the young man would, for that year's time, and prepare a place, then come back for his bride. Now here's where it gets interesting and applies to the rapture of the church, is that the bride did not know the exact point at which her groom was going to come and bring her back to that house. And so she would know that it's getting closer. She would hear little rumors and little tips from friends and from relatives, but she didn't know the exact night. And it was her role to be ready at any point, so when the man showed up, she was ready to leave her house and go to the place where this young man had prepared. And the interesting part, also culturally, is that the time in which the son was sent to go get his bride was dependent upon the father. And he would examine the house. And when the house was ready, that's when he would say, okay, go and get your bride. So the son did not know at that time when he was going to go and get the bride. It was all left in the father's hands. And what many Jewish fathers would do in that time to get back at their sons and to kid with them is that they would always find something that wasn't just quite right and make them fix it, prolonging this time where the son could actually go and get his bride. But eventually he'd give in and say, okay, it's ready. Go get your bride. And the bride needed to be ready at that time. And then what he'd do, he'd go get his bride, and there'd be a big procession through the street. They'd come back to the house. There'd be a little ceremony. There'd be the consummation of the wedding. Then there would be a feast that would last 7 days long. And I believe that the scriptures, as you lay that upon the teaching of the end times, that's exactly where we're at now. We're at that point where the Lord went away to prepare a place for us. And now we're to be waiting with anticipation and being ready tonight. Tonight may be the night, or it may be down the road, but we're to be ready right now to meet the Lord, to go with him in that place that he called his Father's house or heaven, and then be able to celebrate with him for a period. And then we'll come back out of heaven with the Lord to see him establish his kingdom on earth that'll last for 1,000 years. And so, as we study the rapture of the church, may you be ready tonight to be with the Lord.